Open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 4. While you're turning, I'd like to say it's so good to be here this morning. I was sorry I couldn't come back in January. I had what I thought was some health problems, and they told me I was okay. And you know, like Lindsay was talking this morning about trusting, that's all you can do is just trust what they say. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that God in His providence has allowed us to gather one more time to worship Him. Lindsay, I enjoyed that lesson this morning. Bless my heart. Bless my heart. Here in 2 Kings chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in the house. And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels unto her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go. Sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Here we have in these seven verses this beautiful picture of God's grace toward sinners. We have this woman, she's a widow. Her name is not mentioned. Her husband's name here is not mentioned. She has these two sons. And we see Elisha the prophet, the man of God, and we see this one called a creditor who came to this woman's house. Now, she was not always in this state. She was not always a widow, and she was not always in debt. But now she is. Something has happened. We know that is a picture of our state before God. God created man perfect in the garden, and he put him there. God had communion with Adam, and then Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, he plunged this whole human race under the wrath and judgment of God. And there is a debt that has to be paid. You know, as I thought about this woman, now picture with me. Here she is, and her husband dies. She buries her husband. We know he was a believer. He was the servant of God. And she lives with her sons. And one day she hears a knock on the door. The creditor comes knocking on the door. She may have no clue about the debt. She had no idea that there was even a debt that was owed till the creditor came knocking. And she said, What are you here for? He says, I've come to collect a debt. Collect a debt? What debt are you talking about? Well, your husband accumulated this debt and we've come to collect it. You said, you know, naturally speaking, you know what we would think? How heartless. This man, he comes to this widow's house and she only has two sons, probably just a poor dwelling. He says, I've come to collect the debt. And she says, I don't have any money to pay the debt. I don't have anything to pay the debt with. He said, Do you have any children? We're going to take your sons and they're going to be bond slaves, and they're going to have to work to pay the debt. Can you imagine how she feels? You imagine how her sons feel. You imagine if they're standing there, I can see them standing beside their mother and saying, "What are we going to do, Mama?" And you imagine the horror that comes over this woman's heart. This is a picture of what happens when the law comes knocking on the door. Paul said, "I was alive without the law once, but when the law came, sin revived and I died." I can just see this dark cloud now comes over her head and over these children. She's in a desperate situation. Her husband died. He died leaving this very large debt. Now some believe this could have been a man named Obadiah. And if you remember in 1 Kings 18, and this is the time when Elijah, the prophet before Elisha, when he reigned, in the days of Ahab and Jezebel. Listen what it says in 1 Kings 18, verse 3. "And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel, that old wicked king, you know, wicked queen, you know what she did? She would kill all the prophets of God. She would say, I'll destroy them all. While that is going on, well, she cut off all the prophets of the Lord. That Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water, probably of his own expense. He may even have borrowed the money to take care of those preachers living in a cave, hiding themselves. That's not rained for years, so water would have been very scarce and very costly. But he found bread and water, and he took it and he fed these men." That could have been her husband. And this is what he did. So he was not a lazy man. But he did this at great cost and expense to himself. And when he leaves, when he dies, there's this debt. What is this woman to do? Where is she to turn to? As Lindsay said earlier, you know when we begin to seek the Lord? When we're desperate. Don't you know that while her husband lived, she looked to her husband. She would ask him for his advice, but he's not there. You know where she goes? She goes to the prophet. How did you know? How did she know to go to the prophet? I think her husband probably instructed her. And she goes to the prophet. She goes out of great need. She went to the prophet, who's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. She goes to the prophet because the creditor has come to her house and she don't have a clue. She don't have any idea what she's going to do. The debt has to be paid. Listen, in Matthew chapter 18, our Lord spoke about this one day. He talked about a man who owed this great debt. And he said, "But for as much as he had nothing to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made." You say, you know what that is? You know what that is a picture of? That is a picture of the strictness of God's law. Every one of us are born debtors. Every one of us are born incurring this great debt upon our heads that we owe to God. And the debt has to be paid. God just will not sweep it under the rug. Like I said, in our human minds, our depraved thinking, we'd say, why didn't he just say, okay, lady, it doesn't matter. We know you're just a widow, and we know your sons are just, that's all you've got, and you know, you don't have that much. It really doesn't matter. Oh, no. That debt. This is the sobering thing. The debt has to be paid. This world has no clue about that. They have no idea who God is and God's justice and God's character. God is holy. And she comes to the prophet. She's desperate. I see a picture here of a person that's lost. They are at their wit's end. You ever been to that place? Since the wait, you knew you were a sinner. She didn't know it for years. Now she realizes it. And what am I to do? What am I to do? Somebody tell me. I'm desperate. Where am I to turn? The wages of sin is death. We've sold ourselves for nothing. She had nothing. She couldn't deliver herself out from under the demands of the law. But I think she believed God. That's why she came to the prophet. She's forced to go to him. He's the only one. He's the only one that can help her. The only one. This woman's husband probably died believing that God would provide for his wife and his whole family after he was gone. He lived by faith. He died by faith. He feared God. He lived upon the promises of God. Listen to this promise, Jeremiah 19, verse 11. Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive. And let thy widows trust in me. You ever noticed how many times in the scriptures it talks about widows and the fatherless? You know what it says in James about, you know what pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is? To visit the widows and their afflictions and the fatherless and keep himself unspotted from this world. All this happened. Lindsay talked this morning about providence and circumstances. Why has God brought this woman to this place right here? I'll make it personal. Why has God brought you to the place where you're at right now? Let me make it an even more personal question. Why has God brought you to this place right here this morning? Why? You may have not ever known that you owed a debt. But I'm here to tell every one of us this morning that there's a debt that has to be paid. She needed a word from the Lord about what to do. She has nothing, and that's a good place to be. I thought about the woman with the issue of blood. She's desperate. It said she suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but yet grew worse. And she goes to Elisha. And don't you see this? What does Elisha say to her? What am I to do for you? You know what he's saying? You know what he's actually saying? I can't help you. God has called me to preach his gospel, but I can't help you. I can't pay your debt. Elisha knew it. He said, I don't have anything. What do you want me to do? And he said, this is interesting. What do you have in the house? He asked her a question. What do you have in the house. And she said, thy handmaid, I'm your servant, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house. There's nothing there. Some said she had probably sold everything she had to try to pay the debt. And he said, what do you have in your house? And I can see it. If she had any furniture, it's gone. If she had anything of any value, it's all gone. There's nothing left. And now she realizes it. My question to you is, what do you have in your house? As long as you think you've got something in the house that you can bargain with, you're going to use it. And she said, I have nothing left. Save a pot of oil. I wished I had looked up the word pot. I just thought that was an odd name. It didn't say a vessel of oil. It said a pot of oil. I'll give you something to think about. But she now she thinks, maybe, I wonder how many times she'd walk by that pot of oil. I wonder how many times maybe she hadn't considered the pot of oil. And maybe she had considered it. Maybe she would have parted with everything. She did part with everything except this. And this, listen, this is all she has. And if she hadn't been made to see it before now, she sees it now. She sees it. She said, all I have is this pot of oil. I wonder where she got the pot of oil. I think maybe her husband left it to her. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But she wouldn't part with this. What she had, God gave her. This was all she had. And let me tell you something, it's all she needed. It's all she had, and it's all she needed. It may seem small, but don't despise the day of small things. What does he tell her to do? Notice this word. He tells her this to do this twice in these verses. Then he said, she said, all I've got's a pot of oil. Well, now what am I to do? Go. 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 Go do what? Go to your neighbors and borrow empty vessels. As many as you can find. Don't borrow a few. Borrow as many as you can find and bring them back home. That's what she's to do. You know what you'd said? How stupid. Why don't he say go borrow full vessels? What is an empty vessel going to do? You know what you can do with an empty vessel? You can fill an empty vessel. How can empty vessels help? I owe a great debt. You know what this is? You know how she goes? By faith. Can you see her sons? Her sons, I can see them. They're going out with them. Said, Mama, what are we doing? We're out here borrowing vessels. Well, why am I borrowing vessels, Mom? Because the prophet told us to. Well, how do I know when I go up and knock on that door that they're going to give me their vessel? Do you think God works on both ends? And they give them their vessels. As many as they can find. Our Lord makes us helpless. But what I want you to see, she acts upon the light that God had given her. No matter how it looked, no matter what people thought, she's doing what God has instructed her to do. All she could do was borrow. Not full vessels, empty vessels. What is God teaching her? And God has to teach us that she has nothing, and she of her own strength and of her own ability can produce nothing. Nothing. All the vessels, every one of them, have to be completely empty. By nature, we think there's a little bit there. Heard a message, listened to a message coming up the road from Brother Bruce, and he was talking about two of the greatest lies of our age, and he said one of the biggest lies is men think, and they've been told, there's a little bit of good in everybody. That's not an empty vessel. And you know, as believers, we're not exempt from this. We still have an old nature. And when we sin, we think that there's something we can do to maybe pay the debt a little bit. Now, if I read my Bible and I pray and I do these things, well, just maybe. No, it won't. You got to be empty. 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 That means it's empty. It doesn't have anything. It doesn't have, just have a little bit. It has to be empty. Empty. If the vessel had anything in it, it would be adding something to it. And it has to be empty. You must come empty to be filled. Our whole life, God in His grace keeps emptying us of ourself. We have to come with nothing. Our Lord doesn't give seeing men sight. He gives blind men sight. He doesn't clothe those who have clothes. He strips them naked and then He gives them clothes. He makes those rich and they become totally bankrupt. Everything we have, listen to me, everything we have, as Lindsay prayed, whether it's our time, whether it's our talents, or whatever it is, God gave it to you. God gave it. He gave her the pot of oil. He gave the woman a husband, didn't He? And He took him away. Nothing happens by accident. The prophet told the widow to go borrow the vessels, and not a few. Bring as many as you can find. And you know what our instruction is? What is our instruction as believers? What is our instruction? Go into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in. You know what I'm looking for this morning? I'm looking for an empty vessel. You know, the problem is, I don't seem to find many. Men think they're self-righteous in their own strength and in their own wisdom. He says, get empty vessels of all shapes and all sizes. Get many vessels. Why? Expecting great things. Can I ask you a question? Do we really believe that God saves sinners by the preaching of the gospel? Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? That God in His grace still speaks to sinners through the means of the gospel, by the power of His Spirit, who quickens the dead and gives them life. Oh, that we may go and find empty vessels. Empty. God, make them empty. Make them desperate. You know when people will come? When they're desperate. When they're desperate. As I thought about this, I thought, and Lindsay made reference to God feeding the children of Israel with the manna. In John chapter 6, verse 5, our Lord's going to feed 5,000 people. He said, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these people may eat? And this he said to prove Philip, for Christ knew himself what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient, that every one of them may even take just a little. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them which were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as many as they would. And listen to this next statement. And when they were filled, 5,000, all filled from 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He's not done. He said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above of them that had eaten. Every disciple got a basket full. Don't despise the day of small things. Our Lord gets all the glory in filling empty vessels. She gathered them all together, as many as she could find. And what did the... Okay, now you picture this. She gathers all these vessels. She gathers them all. Now what's she to do? Well, the prophet told her what to do. Go into the house, you and your sons, and you shut the door. Why shut the door? To keep out onlookers. There's no creditor in the house. Elisha's not in the house. This is between that woman and her sons and her God. Shut out the distractions. As I thought about this, you remember when Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, he came to our Lord and he said, my 12-year-old daughter is almost at the point of death. Would you come and save and heal my daughter? And our Lord said, I'll go. And while they're on the way to go to Jairus' house, that's when the woman with the issue of blood came. And she's had this issue for 12 years. And he heals this woman. And can you imagine Jairus is standing here looking and he's seeing this. And he's saying, well, I wish we'd hurry up so we can get to the house. And he heals this woman with the issue of blood. And here comes somebody running up and said, don't trouble the master. It's too late. The daughter's already dead. You know what our Lord said? Only believe. All things are possible to him that believes. And he took Peter, James, and John. And when he gets to the house, oh, these people, they're just weeping and lamenting. And Jesus said, what are you weeping for? She's not dead. She's only sleeping. They said, you're crazy. She's dead. He said, they laughed him to scorn. That's what it said. Mark 5:40. So what did he do? He put them all out. He took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and he enters in where the damsel was lying. All those onlookers, all those unbelievers, they're outside. And he said, he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto the damsel, Tabitha Kuma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Did they know what happened in that little house? Oh, yes, they did. Who did the work? He did it. And he said, okay. Now you see this woman, She's in there with her little sons. And they're going to start pouring the oil. Shut out all the distractions. The widow was to use what God had given her. She has a pot of oil and two sons, and they begin to pour it. They fill this vessel. She said, bring me another one. They fill that vessel. Bring me another one. And she keeps filling vessels. Out of one little pot of oil, 'filled every vessel. Till she said, is there any more vessels? And her son said, Mama, there's not any more. And you know when the oil stayed? When the last vessel was full. God's grace and God's mercy will flow as long as there's one empty sinner left. And it stopped. And they're standing around. And do you know, the prophet never told her what to do next. You ever noticed that? He never told her what to do next. We have to walk in the light that God's given us. And now she goes back. Well, what am I to do with all this oil? Who gave her the oil? Now what am I to do with the oil? Look in verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God. Can you imagine what she told him? Elisha, you ain't going to believe this. You knew that little pot of oil? It filled every one of them vessels. If we'd have had some more vessels, it would have filled them. It never stopped till the last one was full. What am I to do now, Elisha? Go. Go. Sell the oil. Why to sell the oil? The debt has to be paid. And live thou and thy children of the rest. I picture in my mind, especially in those days, especially after Ahab and Jezebel, I'd say this oil is very precious. I'd say it's very costly. And she goes down and I can see her in her mind. I can see her thinking, I don't know exactly how much the debt is. And I wonder if there's enough oil here to pay that debt. Reckon there's enough here to pay the debt. And she gets down there and wherever she takes it to, and the man, he pays her for the oil. I can see him say, do you realize how much you've got? And I can see her going maybe into the tax office, and she goes in there and she said, my name is such and such. And she said, I've come to pay my husband's debt. How much is it? And he said, well, it's this. And she starts counting it out. She said, oh my goodness, I got a whole lot left. I want you to picture this. I can see these little boys standing there with her. She pays the debt. And I can see her as she walks out. She's got that little boy in each hand. They look up at her mama. And they say, Mama, is the creditor coming tonight? Is he going to come get us tomorrow? Are they going to come get us, make us slaves, Mama? And she said, no, son. You don't have anything to worry about. The debt's paid. Do you ever feel terrified?
Satan comes with the law and just beats you over the head and says, I've come to collect the debt. And you know what Christ says? Who paid the debt? It's done. I can see them little boys. I can see them. And she took some in at night and said, Mama, you sure that was enough to pay the debt? Yeah, it's okay. You can lay down and rest. He ain't coming back. And I can see them on their way home. I can see her stop by the grocery store. She picks up a bunch of groceries. Her and them two boys sit around that table that God provided. We come here and we sit around his table that he provided. He paid the debt. It was enough to pay the debt, and there's enough grace. We live on it all through this world and for all eternity. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. He gave her everything. Did he not feel, you know what? It was something I just thought about. He filled her empty vessel. He filled her. I pray he fills yours. God always brings to pass what he's promised. She went in, trusted him, did exactly what he told her to do. She honored him, and he honored her. The Spirit of God, the oil of God's grace, did not cease to flow until the last elect of God is saved. The song says, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. No matter how many vessels he's filled, there's still grace. There's still grace. There's still grace. The debt is paid. Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Every need is supplied. The Lord made the promise, and she trusted in the one who made the promise. Our great God takes care of all his spiritual widows. His church will be provided for in whatever trial they may go through. That's what she's a picture of, her and her sons. It's a picture of the church and her children. As long as there's one chosen sinner left in this world, the oil of the Spirit of grace will continue to flow. And listen to me, he will fill every empty vessel that comes to him. He'll make them empty. You know, you can't empty yourself. You know, the scripture's talking about humbling yourself before God. We can't humble ourselves. By the time we think we're humble, we get proud of it. He empties us, and then he fills us. If there's an empty vessel here today, bow before him and ask him to fill you with his grace. Amen.